You are listening to the Roberta Glass True Crime Report, putting the true back in true crime. From New York City, Roberta Glass is now on the record.
My guest, Shayna, is a true crime researcher, an animal advocate, and one of my favorite people to talk with about true crime. She can be heard on this podcast talking about Alex Gibney's documentary, Crazy Not Insane, and on a special live episode discussing the execution of Lisa Montgomery, both linked in this episode's description. She returns to the podcast to talk about Amanda Knox's Svengali-like control of the internet. Welcome back, Shayna. So, what is the most clear and convincing evidence against Amanda Knox?
Oh, God, there's so much of it. I would say what convinced me was Amanda's DNA mixed with Meredith's blood. It's in the bathroom. And it was also in their housemate Philomena's room, if I recall correctly. And I remember I read online that they can't prove that it's Amanda's blood mixed with Meredith's blood, but it is DNA in the form of blood. And blood is very rich in DNA, and there was equal amounts of both of their DNA. So basically, it's blood. You just can't legally say it's blood because we don't know that Amanda's DNA was in the form of blood. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, it's DNA that lights up under luminol. So the supporters will say that she's rubbed root vegetables on her feet. I've actually engaged in debate.
Oh my.
With a person trying to argue that. They will make up a crazy excuses for it, but they don't like to talk about Philomena's room at all. And that is a really good point. I would add that to believe Amanda Knox is innocent, you have to ignore a lot of counterintuitive behavior, like accusing her boss of murder, letting her boss sit in prison or jail for 2 weeks without ever recanting and never paying him.
She talks to her mom about it while he's in jail, and it's sort of like, they'll figure it out.
Which is so ironic because now she's an advocate for the falsely convicted, she says.
Yeah.
They call it falsely accused, that group, but she really means is falsely convicted.
Yeah, and she falsely accused Patrick Lumumba. She owes him, what, like $40,000 still?
Still, and I think they're now putting interest on it.
I mean, the woman crowdfunded her wedding. If she can crowdfund that much money, shouldn't it immediately go to Patrick Lumumba, whose business she ruined?
She made several million on her book deal. So that, you would think, if you got a multi-million dollar book deal, that she would just pay off that $40,000 that she owed Patrick Lumumba for slandering him, just to silence the critics. But she hasn't.
Well, we'll get into the internet part of it later. But they are not very sympathetic to Patrick Lumumba on the internet. And I'm not really sure why.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Supporters don't like when you bring up Patrick Lumumba because it's the one thing that she was actually, like, her conviction, what is it, calumny?
Yes.
That conviction stands. And she served time for that. She is technically a convicted slanderer in Italy, but nobody wants to talk about it.
I don't know if there is even a good translation here, but she's a convict. She's walking around and she's being platformed and supported by our mainstream media. And do you think that has to do with her being American and that they need this myth to survive so that other countries don't think that we're sending our children over there to kill other people?
I think it's a very astute observation. I think it's very possible. There's that whole ugly American overseas idea. And I think even before Amanda participated in the murder of Meredith Kircher, she was sort of the quintessential ugly American, from what I understand. Like, I've heard stories that she was kind of loud and obnoxious, and she wasn't a great worker at Patrick Lumumba's bar. She wasn't working very hard at her schooling either. I think she's sort of the quintessential ugly American overseas who ended up killing somebody. And it looks really bad for American kids if we're going to say she's the girl next door.
That's right, because they put out a narrative that how did the girl next door who went over to Italy to study, but her studying, there was no credit she was going to get for this studying that translated to the University of Washington, is my understanding, no?
No, I don't think so. Wasn't it just like one class she was taking?
Correct. So she did not have Meredith Kircher's heavy workload.
No.
She was going through a lot of money weekly.
Yep.
And she was about to be fired from her job. Those were the circumstances. She had walked out of a internship she was given by her uncle in Germany without saying anything, just walked out. And she landed in Italy. It seems like, I think she would even say experience life and really live life and not so interested in her studies. I think she would even admit that.
Oh, definitely.
When Meredith Kircher was murdered and Amanda Knox was arrested, PR got involved in this very early on. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so PR overseas. I remember I was in college around this time. I don't have a very great memory of what was going on. But I remember that basically all the Italian tabloids were calling her Foxy Noxy. And it was sort of like she was this devil woman who, it seemed absurd to us in America. I didn't know any of the details. I didn't know they had actual evidence on her. But it was very much like she was this American whore devil worshiper that the Italians were calling her. And it seemed ridiculous. And that PR campaign was incredible because everyone I know thinks that. Like those Italians were out to get her.
Out to get her. It was a corrupt prosecutor under investigation. Never mind that he's been acquitted of the things that he was under investigation for.
Yep.
But terrible prosecutor. They jumped the tunnel vision investigation, all the things that make up for a wrongful conviction.
Yeah.
That narrative. They jumped the gun. They went too quickly. She couldn't withstand the hours-long interrogation she had. Never mind, it was only about 2 hours, but okay, before she...
They were hitting her. She didn't have a translator. She barely knew Italian. She worked at a bar. She was taking orders.
And her horrible, torturous interrogation started out with tea and snacks from the vending machine. That before they tortured her, they made sure she was well-fed.
Ridiculous.
And I got some of this PR came my way. I was working at Oprah and I got a letter and it was a typed letter. I wish I still had it. And it went through the case with all the PR talking points. It was either from a friend or a family member or someone who said they were. And the way that they described that case, it made it sound like a terrible injustice. And they talked about this underwear and how she was wrongly convicted in the press of being a she-devil because she went out and bought underwear because she couldn't get into the cottage because it was a crime scene, so she had to buy underwear. So, of course, she bought white underwear from this bin, and it got misconstrued that she was buying lingerie. That turned out to be a lie. She was buying lingerie, and she was on CTV footage buying it. But never mind. So that started for me a many-year interest in the case. And I really didn't have an opinion for years and years and years. I couldn't figure it out because the information I was getting from the U.S. was so conflicting. And the first real piece of information that I got that was more factual was Barbie Nadeau's book, who worked for the Daily Beast, who reported who actually watched the trial. And that was my first thinking that there might be more evidence than Amanda Knox is saying against her. And I think you'd have to think that all the DNA has to be wrong that implicates Raph and Amanda, and it has to be right that implicates Rudy. And this is the same lab, same investigators. It doesn't make sense.
Not at all.
That was my big revelation from this case one day. It took me years to figure that out. So
same. I never wanted to approach the case because I didn't know there was so much information and confusion. And then I listened to your episode. I actually saw your episode title about Amanda Knox. I was like, oh God, she thinks Amanda Knox is guilty. Like, I just don't think I don't know if that's possible. So I listened and the whole time I was like, oh shit, I didn't know this. Oh my God, there's DNA. I didn't know this. Oh my God, her DNA is on the handle of the knife and Meredith is on the blade.
Correct.
Come on. Like, it's ridiculous how much DNA there is. And her supporters love to say that they lived together. Of course, her DNA was there. That's not what we're saying. We're saying her DNA was in the exact wrong places, exactly where the killer's DNA would be, the knife handle mixed with the victim's blood. Like, that's not normal spots of DNA that you would find in a home that people share.
Well, why is it in Philomena's room? And that's the room that they don't want to talk about. I'll give her the bathroom. She can take the bathroom. I just think the most important evidence is in Philomena's room. I will go down saying that on this case. I think the most important evidence is in Philomena's room, which is why they never talk about it. And they shrink the crime scene to being just the bathroom and just Meredith's room.
They do. I think you were the one who said the constant refrain in this case is there was no evidence in the bedroom, no DNA in the bedroom, which there was. Raffaele's DNA was on the broadcloth.
There's a size 7 shoe print. I mean, we didn't really, we joked beforehand that we weren't going to talk about the evidence, but there is so much of it.
So much of it.
I just knew that this is really about Amanda Knox and her control, or what seems to be a control over the internet. But you know, when you do these episodes, people are going to be upset that you didn't talk about the evidence. So there is the evidence. That's why we believe Amanda Knox is guilty. It took me many years of doing my due diligence. I get very upset when people call me biased. I was the least biased person. In fact, I think I was biased in favor of Amanda Knox from the beginning, from getting that letter. So if anything, I was biased the other way. And Amanda Knox's father hired a PR agent before he hired a lawyer, which is so unusual. And he said it was the smartest thing that they did. He hired Gagarity Marat. And that seemed to have set the tone for this whole case, that this was going to be played out in the media. And it seems to continue to this day. Who is Amanda Knox represented by?
UTA? Yep.
Correct. Yeah, UTA. She's had Robert Barnett as a literary agency.
Yeah.
All heavy players, major players. Why do you think PR is so important to control in America for Amanda Knox? What I mean is, say that our theory that there is some kind of element of control of what you can say about Amanda Knox on the internet, why would that be advantageous to her?
It's sort of a follow the leader thing. It's already a controversial thing to say Amanda Knox is guilty. If everyone else on the internet says, "That's insane. What are you talking about? That poor girl was railroaded," you start to wonder, "I guess I was wrong. Maybe I viewed things wrong." And if you don't start to wonder, you're going to be attacked anyway. You're not allowed to say Amanda Knox is guilty on the internet. Specifically, you're talking Reddit. She's got Reddit locked down, and I don't understand what's going on.
You have to think that if people on the internet start making really great points and really great arguments, and it gets seen by enough people, there goes her speaking gigs.
Mm-hmm.
The favorable articles get more pushback.
Yep.
And maybe her source of money dries up. There's a lot of money being made by Amanda Knox. Murder is big business in America, if you haven't been listening to this podcast. So what happened to you on Reddit?
So I listened to your episode, and I was all fired up. I was like, oh my God, people think she's innocent. This is terrible. People need to know the truth, that there's a ton of evidence against her. So I would tell people on Reddit whenever I'd see posts, like, there's actually a lot of evidence. Here's a list of it. I would link them to the murderofmeredithkircher.net. And I started getting some of the craziest pushback I've ever experienced in my life. I'm very polite on the internet. I don't call people names. I don't say they're stupid. I used to think she was innocent too. That's not stupid. You're just not informed on it. So I would give them the information. And one of the earliest and craziest reactions I got was that I was disrespecting Meredith Kircher. I was trying to say that her killer, Rudy, was innocent, which I never said that. Rudy obviously was involved. And then this person started saying that the Kirchers themselves were disrespecting their daughter by vilifying Amanda and ignoring her actual killer. They went on a crazy rant that was basically like, the Kirchers are going to rot in hell. And then I kept an eye on this Redditor. They deleted the posts the next morning. They were gone. They were just horrific things about the Kircher family. And this is a Redditor that posts I would say at least every couple of days. They post in crime forums or crime subreddits all the time. Big, long posts, like summaries of cases. Well-respected person. And every single time I see them post, all I can think about is, are you the same person who said that the Kirchers were going to rot in hell? It was astonishing.
You also had another incident where someone erased their posts with you. Can you talk about that?
Okay, so they started, I was just telling them the evidence. Maybe I was a little too naive and earnest about it. I was like, no, there's really a lot of evidence. And like, this person will understand if I show it to them. So I did. And then they kept coming back at me with, but you can't prove that the mixed DNA was only deposited there during a murder. And it's like, of course I can't prove that. That's what a trial is. You give them all the evidence and the pile of evidence that starts to prove that there was a murder. And like, also, there was a murder. Of course, the blood was from the murder. So anyway, they said that they were going to donate $25 to the charity of my choice if I could prove this. And I'm like, I'm not trying to prove anything. I was just giving you information. Like, I'm not here to fight. And they kept going and saying, like, a charity is missing out on money that I'm going to give.
The $25?
The $25, yes. I was like, I could donate $25 and we could skip this. and, you know, I don't know if it was Amanda Knox or not. But whenever they get like that, I started saying, okay, Amanda, who else could possibly know every little loophole? I felt like I was arguing with a lawyer who was very well versed in the case. I know my facts, but I don't know the case as well as Amanda herself does or her lawyers. I don't know every little spot they can try to poke holes in it. And of course, nobody, not even the prosecutors, can prove that that blood was deposited there by a murder.
It's funny that none of the other DNA of the other roommates,
right,
who all lived there, was found. Some of Amanda Knox supporters don't even know she had other roommates, Laura and Philomena.
I didn't know that. Until I heard you talking about the blood in Philomena's room, I didn't know that either.
So what happened when you said, okay, Amanda?
They called me childish. And I said, that's not a denial that you're Amanda Knox. And the person said, she's rich and pretty, though seemingly kind of a weirdo who's had a rough go of it, so I'll take it. I'm not saying it's Amanda Knox. I do not know her internet activity, but that's a bizarre thing to say.
That Roberta Glass, she's so beautiful and incredibly smart, but a little strange. But
and persecuted. You can't forget that she's had a rough go of it.
I've had a rough go.
She's so persecuted.
Yeah. I'll take the... It's so crazy.
I was blown away.
Just put your own name in there and see how that comes off the tongue. Yeah, go ahead.
I was blown away. And the next morning I looked, it was gone. It was all deleted, the entire conversation.
And you got kicked out of a group, no?
Yeah, that's another story. The subreddit True Crime Discussion. Every once in a while, people will post, you know, what about Amanda Knox? What do we think about Amanda Knox? And I would say, like, she's actually very guilty. This is why. I was very polite, like I always am. I actually noticed when I would do that, I would start getting upvotes. People would start agreeing with me, essentially. And then I'd come back half an hour later. I would be like 40 downvotes in. I would have, like, people would descend upon me and call me crazy, a misogynist, an idiot, a psychopath. Someone started ranting and raving about, like, me being in a cult that's led by a guy who's obsessed with dead women. What are you talking about? I literally just read the facts on a website that translated the files.
Isn't that interesting? Because Amanda Knox supported Keith Raniere, and yep, she came out saying that his trial that I attended, and I can tell you that was done by the letter, was a false conviction.
Well, like, what does she know about his trial? Yeah. And so then they love to do this thing. By they, I mean her supporters, I guess. They love to discredit you before you even get there. They would be like, this is a known troll. Ignore them. And then people would be like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, no, I'm not a known troll. I didn't troll anything. Just giving you information very politely. I actually started noticing people coming into conversations about Amanda Knox before I got there and saying that blank, whatever my name was, will be here any second now to start trolling you guys. Am I that much of a threat to you just by having a different opinion? And it's not opinion because I'm giving you facts to back it up with.
How did you get actually banned?
A couple of them started just commenting that I sent them crazy messages. I didn't even know how to send a message on Reddit at that point, okay? And I actually went and found the moderators for that page, and I found a name I recognized who posts often. So I sent them a message saying, people are saying I did crazy things. I didn't. I will happily send you whatever proof you need, pictures of my inbox. And I'm so sorry, this being a moderator seems like a really difficult job. Never heard back. All of a sudden, I get a message from a different moderator that's like, you've been banned permanently from Reddit True Crime Discussion. And I said, why? And they said that I've been something about how I'm consistently rude and confrontational, which I've never been rude. I've never been confrontational. I just give facts. People have been rude and confrontational to me, like the names that they've called me. I literally started reporting all the anti-Kircher comments. They left those up, but they kicked me out.
I'm sorry. You're supporting a victim's family?
Yeah.
Outrageous behavior, you're out?
I said that to them.
And you don't have the right opinion.
I said that to them. I was like, I'm reporting all the anti-Kircher comments and you're kicking me out and keeping them in. And then the moderator came back and said that they were reporting me to Reddit, all of Reddit, because I was something about evading a ban. How did I evade the ban? You just banned me. And vote manipulation? I'm not even sure what that means.
Do you think someone took your screen name?
I don't think so.
You can't do that in Reddit, right? I'm so unsavvy. I don't even know.
I didn't see anybody else with my name. So basically what happened was somebody doesn't like the real facts getting out there. I'm not a big conspiracy person, but it was insane. I'm no longer allowed on Reddit True Crime Discussion because I gave people information on Amanda Knox. I literally would just link them to the murder of Meredith Kircher.net and correct their facts.
What's so amazing is I had this experience where I posted something about Amanda Knox and they descended. It's almost like an army of ants descending on you.
It's wild.
It's just all of a sudden you just have this descent on you and it's the most negative energy. Not, oh, I respectfully disagree with you. I think she's innocent because it's a barrage of insults and statements with no support.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes on and on and on and on and downvoted into oblivion until you have no credibility at all. And I will give everybody this advice. If anyone tells you not to listen to someone because they're a terrible person, sometimes terrible people can be right.
Yeah.
It's just not a great argument. Sometimes people with terrible pasts, horrible behavior can still be correct. So always listen to the argument and not the person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. And people have been telling me this about YouTube comments, that there seems to be a commenter, one commenter, very pro Amanda Knox commenter that talks like Amanda Knox, writes these long paragraphs, seems very intimate with Amanda Knox, and has endless amounts of identities. I thought, this is crazy. Who could have all these identities? And then I started to experience it for myself. It's a particularly long kind of comment, very convoluted, and very intimate with Amanda Knox.
Yeah.
Very intimately connected. It's all you can say is you know it when you see it.
Yes.
And I think, how much time does Amanda, if this is Amanda Knox and not someone close to her, which it could be, how much time does she have on her hands and her supporters have on their hands? Because it seems like a lot of time.
Just endless time. Oh, the other one I forgot to tell you about. This was the one that honestly made me sick to my stomach, was the person who was badgering me to tell them what I think happened in Meredith's bedroom that night. I don't know what happened. I know that there was mixed blood. I know that there were bloody footprints. I do not know what happened, and I'm not going to speculate. I can't possibly know. And they just said, well, just tell me what you think. I want to hear what you think. And I was like, why? It doesn't matter what I think. I don't think anything. And they just kept coming at me. I was like, if this is Amanda Knox, this is some sick reliving her crime type shit. It was sick.
That's a great point, though, because that is generally on the YouTube comments, a very similar theme. You don't know how it went down, and nobody does on any of these crimes.
Yeah.
In the murder of Travis Alexander, in that trial, many people believed that the prosecution's theory about the knife wounds happening before the gun was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the prosecution, it only presents a theory. None of us were there. That whole argument, you weren't there, so you don't know. We look at the evidence and we think we can know up to a degree.
Exactly.
It's not absolute certainty I was there. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the level of evidence.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to speculate what happened. That's not my job. I'm just here to tell you you're wrong about the facts. Like, if you say Amanda didn't get an interpreter, I'm going to link you to a file that tells you that she did get an interpreter. And it seems like they had a lovely little conversation. Like, nobody complained. You know, you say they beat her up. I'm going to give you information that shows that they definitely did not beat her up. It's just, I'm not going to speculate what happened. I don't know. Only Amanda knows. Only Amanda and Raffaele know that. And Rudy Gooday.
Absolutely. None of us know what went on in any of these crimes. These arguments are wild. And image is most important, I think, to Amanda Knox. Do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. There's another trend I've noticed on Reddit. Every couple of months, somebody just posts a picture of Amanda and talks about how hot she is. I'm like, this is so inappropriate. Whether you think she's attractive or not, this is a place to discuss the murder that she was convicted of. I don't care if she's physically attractive to you or not. I think it's very strange that people continue to do that.
Just yesterday, she commented on Britney Spears. She's commented on Michelle Carter.
Yep.
She's listed as an expert on women's issues in her UTA profile, United Talent Agency profile. How do you think that's going for Amanda Knox? Do you think that the public is accepting her? Do you think her podcast is a hit? Do you think her rehabilitation is successful? Is it in the works? But do you think there will be a time when Amanda Knox will be universally accepted and loved?
I don't. You know, I think that her time passed. She was pretty well accepted around the time her book came out. She has made so many social faux pas since then. I remember, was it the 2020 election? Do you remember when she tweeted, no matter what happens, the next 4 years can't be as bad as my trip to Italy?
That was unbelievably callous.
Unbelievable. And then there was another time where she posted a picture of herself in her prison sweats. If this was so traumatic, why are you putting those on for fun? Those aren't your fat clothes that you've now grown out of. That was supposedly the most traumatizing time of your life. Why are you like flaunting it on the internet? This is weird. People are starting to notice that she's very weird and very creepy.
I think they started many years ago noticing it. It's the thing everybody wants to talk to me behind the scenes about is why she's so creepy. That's the number one question I get.
Yeah, and it's gotten worse. I think the supporting Keith Raniere was a big faux pas for her.
I think it's generally forgotten. I think most people don't know. I think that she's had some success in getting a lot of press, but I don't know if she's won the universal love of Americans.
No, I don't think so. You know, I've also noticed a lot of people who aren't Amanda sycophants on the Unreddit will say, like, she's weird, but I don't think she killed anybody. So I don't think even the people who support her like her that much.
That's a great point.
Except for the crazy supporters. But the average supporter is like, I don't think she killed anyone, but I don't like her.
That's true. I know there are some supporters in my audience who say, why doesn't she go and do something else? Interesting. Do you think that her having a child, a baby girl, do you think that that will do anything to soften her image?
I think it's possible, but so far, I don't think it is. It was weird. That article, was it the New York Times or The Cut or some New York Times publication? Like, she shoves her daughter into this woman's arms.
And saying that she has having poop problems with her baby? It was just right on point for Amanda Knox, inappropriate.
Wouldn't you want to be on your best behavior if you're being interviewed for a huge publication? People don't like her. She doesn't come off well. Whether you think she's a killer or not, she does not come off well.
And she's had a ton of media training. That was apparent with the Joe Rogan interview. I think that was William Ramsey's greatest insight, or one of his greatest insights into that interview, was that she got her PR talking points in right away and she just hammered them home. She knew the things to say. She had her set lines. And when she got off script, it got to be more telling. There was two times. There's one time where she's talking about what Rudy was convicted of, and she explains he was convicted of murdering Meredith Kircher in concert with other people. And I thought, well, if it's not you and it's not Raph, then who are these other people? Now we have mystery people that are being brought into this?
Sometimes I think that she likes to go to the edge and like dip a toe in and just see how far she can take it.
I don't think so. I think my feeling on it is, if you get someone talking long enough, and this is the thought of every investigator ever in any crime, that eventually the truth will kind of spill out and some unnecessary things, which is why you, if you're guilty of something, you want to say nothing.
Yeah, I can see that too.
I don't think she realized how odd it was until later. And then the other interesting point, to speak to her total trauma over her situation, is when she was asked by Joe Rogan how many nightmares she had about her experience, she started to talk about how she washed her clothes in the sink. She got in the habit of doing it in jail and she liked to do it at home. That to me does not read as traumatic.
No.
That reads as a habit you got into and you continue it because you've just haven't gotten out of a habit.
That's not a nightmare?
That's not a nightmare, and that's not trauma, and that's not post-traumatic stress.
No.
I think this Amanda Knox story is so interesting to watch. She has got no lack of love letter press. The New York Times, Rolling Stone, every major publication now is on the Amanda Knox was falsely convicted train. And when she was being tried, it was a little bit more fair.
Well, now she's the exonerated Amanda Knox.
Her great exoneration, I will go over this again and repeat myself, but her great exoneration was that she was there at the scene of the crime and watched Meredith's blood off her hands. That's her great exonerating decision by the judge.
Yep.
So, Shayna, this has always been really fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.